a pleasure to be with you this evening. And, you know, Memorial Day is tomorrow, and so oftentimes you wonder if you should talk about that or something else. And Joe in class this morning talked about memorials, like, okay, where's he going with that? And then with Paul this morning. But I want to talk a little bit about that. But I want to talk mainly about our friend, who is Jesus Christ, that we just sang about. In 1863, there was a mother, and she was at a graveside. And so were many others gathering there, and this was during the Civil War time. And she ended up placing two flowers on, one on each of her son's grave, and they were on the Confederate side. And then she had a couple more flowers, and she went over and placed them on two graves over in the corner of the cemetery. And as she did this, the people that were there said, "What are you doing? Those are two Union soldiers' graves." And she told them that some mother or young mother was also grieving the loss of their sons. And this is kind of what jump-started Memorial Day, even though it was an official holiday till several years later. I'm thankful for the service that our military and service men and women give. And I'm thankful for their sacrifice, that unselfish sacrifice that gives us the freedoms, those privileges and rights that we enjoy in this country. And oftentimes we take them lightly. And because we take them lightly, we see what happens or is happening to our country. And I did a little research. I think it's important when we put numbers to things, sometimes it makes it a little more real or makes us appreciate. In the Revolutionary War, we lost a little over 25,000 young men and soldiers. The Civil War, we lost just short of 500,000 as our country fought amongst ourselves. World War I, we lost a little over 116,000. World War II, a little over 407,000. The Korean War, just short of 55,000. Vietnam War, a little over 58,000. The First Gulf War, a little under 300. And this last Iraq War, a little over 800. If you add all those up, it's over 1 million soldiers that have paid that ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms that we enjoy. But there was one solitary life who paid a sacrifice. This life was born to the Virgin Mary and the miracles that surrounded that. This man came up in a humble raising. He was about his father's business at a very early age, as he was found teaching in the temple. This man performed miracles. He raised the dead. The lame could walk. He performed miracles the blind could see. And he even calmed the winds of the sea. And you even remember his disciples on the boat that one night. What manner of man is this? He can calm the sea. He had a great supper, and he washed the feet of his disciples. Those disciples at that time were arguing who was the greatest of them all. And Jesus washed their feet, being the greatest. And he was betrayed by his own. And he was beaten. And he hung upon a cross. How awful that must have been. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And he rose again on that third day, having victory over death, so that we might know there is life after death. And we look at all the governments and armies and navies and kings of this world down through history, and none of them have had the effect on mankind like this one man who is Jesus Christ. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the prophet Isaiah. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he prophesied of these events. And I would like to read that to you as Benadi recorded it in Mosiah, the 8th chapter. As he was speaking to the people of King Noah, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom his arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our face from him. He was despised and he was esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he was made in his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no evil, neither was any deceit in his mouth. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his own soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It really gives you a good feel for what Jesus Christ suffered. You know, in verse 19 it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know, the word carried in Hebrew is substitution. You know, many times in our lives we try to carry our burdens, don't we? And we need to help carry one another's burdens. And I shared this a few Wednesday nights ago, but I've had the opportunity to go to our sister Beth's house for several ministrations. Before she had surgery, there was one. And after that administration, I got back home that night, and as I was laying in bed, I could not sleep. And I would maybe fall asleep for 10 minutes, and then I would wake up for 30 minutes to an hour, and I just had her on my heart. I had that prayer on my heart, and I was praying for her. That happened all night long. The next morning, Courtney had texted Amy and said Beth had a rough night. That she had felt the prayers of the saints that help her get through it. See, we can share in each other's burdens. But there's one burden we can't share in, and that's in each other's burden of sin. It's only Jesus Christ that can take that burden from you. For that's the reason He died. You know, it's been about 2 years ago now. Probably one of the most moving and transforming things that have taken place in my life. Brother Kenny Butterworth had passed away. And I think I shared this a couple years ago. And at the graveside of that service, they had the naval officers there because Kenny was a part of the Navy. And I had never been to a military graveside service. And it came to the point of that service that those two naval officers, with their neatly pressed white linens, removed the flag off the casket. And they folded that flag with precision and care. And they took that flag and they knelt in front of Kathleen. And they read these words, or recited these words. And I want to read them to you. On behalf of the President of the United States and a grateful nation and a proud Navy, this flag is preserved as a token of our appreciation. For the honorable and faithful service rendered by your loved one to his country and Navy. It was a few weeks after that we had a communion prayer service before the prayer service or the sacrament service. Now, as I was sitting in that service, and with my eyes feasted upon the emblems that were covered, my mind was drawn to the similarities between that service at the graveside and our sacrament service. You see, we have the deacons come up and remove that cloth. And they neatly fold it with precision and care. And after those emblems are uncovered, we too kneel as the blessing of the prayers over the emblems are read. And as I mine was reflecting on these things, I realized that I was not serving my Heavenly Father with the honor and respect that He deserved. See, in my mind, it made a connection for me between the sacrifice of a soldier and the sacrifice of our Heavenly Father. And my belief in this Jesus Christ at that time My belief and that faith in Him became knowledge to know that He is the Christ, and He died for each one of us, and He paid the ultimate sacrifice. And I knew I needed to serve Him with more honor and respect. There's a saying I came across. The innocent, referring to Jesus, the innocent was punished as if guilty, that the guilty might be rewarded as if innocent. You know, as I reflected on this experience I had, and when I realized that I wasn't serving Him with enough honor and respect, I was drawn to that covenant that I made with Him in the waters of baptism. And if you're, sometimes it's good to be reminded of that. Section 17. And again, by the way of commandment to the church concerning the manner of baptism, all those who humble themselves before God and desire to be baptized and come forth with broken hearts and contrite spirits and witness before the church that they have truly repented of all their sins and are willing to take upon them the name of Jesus Christ, having a determination to serve Him to the end, and truly manifest by their works that they have received of the Spirit of Christ unto the remission of their sins, shall be received by baptism into this church, into His church. Very similar to what we read in the prayers. Always take upon us His name. And to serve Him to the end, in the prayer it says, to always remember Him. And to keep His commandments. And it here says, here manifest by their works. You know, I've gained a great appreciation for the sacrament service, because it is truly a memorial service. And you know, there's three things that should be presented in that service. That service is in remembrance for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what He did for us. That's the number one thing. The second thing is it should remind us of our covenant we have made with Him. And if those two things are brought forth, to remember Jesus Christ, that sacrifice He made for us, and to remember our covenant, it should make us examine our lives, that we approach that and with repentance. And too many times, I'm sad to say, those things haven't been presented at our sacrament services. And I go away there sad, because that is such a great opportunity that we miss to center our thoughts upon this Jesus Christ and what He has done for us and what partaking of those emblems really means. I don't know who's preached the next sacrament service. I didn't mean to put any pressure on you. Few more things. As I was thinking about Memorial Day and a soldier, what are some attributes, some qualities of a good soldier? You know, a soldier is a follower. You might think that's strange. You know, a follower, you know, a lot of times we don't want to follow after something bad, but that's not the type of follower I'm talking about. A soldier is a follower. He follows and respects rank, and he respects rule. You know, there's a chain of command in the armed forces, and a soldier honors that. And they also have rules or orders, and those soldiers obey those orders. As I was thinking about this, as we are soldiers of Christ, we have to recognize who our commander is. And Jesus Christ is our commander in chief. You know, so many times we want not to submit to Him. We want to do our own thing. That's not what a good soldier does. As far as rule, are we obedient to His commandments? I know I struggle with that. I wanted to read an oath that the soldiers take when they enlist in whatever branch of the armed forces they enter. And they say, I, and it says their name, affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the uniform code of the military justice. So help me God. You know, as you look at the Restoration as a whole has a real problem with rank and rule. You know, we've had people go out and do things on their own. You know, and I don't want to dwell on that. I think what we need to be concerned about is getting our own lives in order. Each of us trying our best to get our own lives in order. And if we do that, we can get our houses in order. Even as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then if we do that, we can get our branches in order. And then we'll have that unity which we all seek. But we always want to fast forward to the unity part and not put in the hard work before then. You know, it's so important that we follow the rules. And this church has rules and order. If you want to know some of those, if you want to freshen up on some of those, it's section 17, where we have the Articles and Covenants of the Church of Christ. Section 42, we have the Laws of the Church. And section 46, where we have direction and exercising of the spiritual gifts, which our church so much needs. We've been given a lot, and too much is given, much is required. The soldier is also faithful. And all of us here, I know you are faithful. But as discussed in class this morning in section 60, we are to be more faithful. And if we're not, those talents which have been given us will be taken away. And part of being faithful is enduring to the end. And enduring often requires pain, and it's not easy. You know, in James it talks about patience having its perfect work in us. I think about our Sister Beth again. She has endured much. Her family has endured much. And she has been a great example for me how to handle adversity in life and how to endure and how to be that faithful and patient soldier. You know, she's been blessed. She's received miracles. You see, our God is a God of miracles. And He changes not. And He works with us according to our faith. And our sister Beth has had faith as she approaches those administrations. And this is why she's been blessed. You know, a faithful soldier prioritizes. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to participate in the CPRS graduation. And that was the first time I've had that opportunity. And I encourage you to go to it sometime. It's quite an experience. And a comment made by Brother Bill Fonts, who made the commencement address. It's interesting, you know, the students choose who they want to do the commencement address. And Bill had been a custodian there at the school for several years. I don't know how many years, 20 some. And that's who the children chose. And something he said stuck with me. As he gave the young men and women there some counsel, he said to make sure they make Jesus Christ their first priority, not the last resort. And so many times in our lives, I know I have. We get desperate enough, and we come unto Him, and He's the last resort. How many times have we had lack of faith? And we seek doctors out or seek solutions before approaching the elders of the church for administration. Is that usually our last resort? You see, there's power in these ordinances. But they can't be exercised if we don't seek Him out first. And the third thing is a good soldier is familiar. He is familiar with the commander's voice. And so ought we to be familiar with the master's voice. And the way we become familiar with the master's voice is being in the Word daily. And praying daily and fasting. If we're not doing these things, we cannot be familiar with the Master's voice. Oh, how we need it to guide us, don't we? You know, there's a, if we're not familiar with His voice, if we're not familiar with the laws that govern our church, Satan can enter in. As talked in class today, his flaxen cords can wrap around us. And he loves to destroy from within. So we have to be very careful as a branch to reverence and respect Him in our worship, as we have been talking in class, in our music, in our ministry, and all that goes on here. 1 Peter the 5th chapter, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It's those little things we let enter in that destroy branches, that destroy our lives. So we have to be familiar with the Master's voice. I wanted, Lee touched on it this morning, about the saints at Far West, experience they had. And I'm just going to read it. It's not that long. It's an experience that's always stuck with me. And if you want to know where you can find it, I'm not sure it's in church history, but it's a little pamphlet you can get from Price's, John Brush. So many people gathered in Far West soon filled the houses to overflowing, and from two to 300 people were obliged to make their beds on the prairie. Among this number was Brother Brush's family. The tears could not be kept back as he recalled the sufferings of those without shelter. It was near November again, and one night 6 inches of snow fell upon the beds of men and women and children, some of whom were very sick at the time. The cries of little ones were heart-rending in the extreme. Brother Brush's people had not been there long when they saw before them an advancing army of 5,000 to 6,000 men. Draw up in line of battle, with the appearance of intending to assault the city. And if this should be the case, what must be the result? Bloodshed, violence, and perhaps the extermination of every soul within the city. And how was this to be prevented? Truly, in a natural sense, the inhabitants were powerless to prevent it. But there was an element there that even in that awful moment calmed the hearts and bade them await the results of the hour in hope. The men of Far West, between 200 and 300 in number, gathered to the side of the town and awaited events. Joseph the prophet went out with them and strolled out in advance of most of them, but quite a number of the brethren soon followed him. He then turned to the man nearest him and placed him in an attitude of rest, kneeling upon one knee. He told him to remain where he was. Calling to another, he placed him in a like position about 40 feet away. He continued doing so with another and another until quite a long line was formed parallel to the advancing armies of the enemy. Women came out and stood by their husbands, ready to participate in any result that might come to them. they cannot be persuaded to turn back. With all eyes upon him, Brother Joseph turned to the saints and said, "Brethren, don't go into trouble any farther than you see me go." "We won't," was the reply. He then arranged his men in a line spoken of opposite the enemy. When this had been done, Brother Bush says that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit was felt, by him at least, in such an extent that he felt perfectly assured of their safety. All at once, cries of "retreat, retreat," were heard from the ranks of the advancing army, together with the most terrible oaths and cursing that Brother Brush had ever heard. In the greatest disorder, the enemy drew back about 1 mile and a half to Log Creek. And we go on, you read the count later, a few days later, the enemy was terrified of the army that surrounded those saints. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? This is the God that we worship. He can do things like this still today. But brothers and sisters, I believe it's time for me and for each one. It's time we stand up. It's time we rise up and be that covenant people that we are called to be.